Hello and welcome to another episode of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, follow us on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me here tonight, Dickie Fung, OTG writer and Laker fan. What's up, Dickie?
How are you guys doing? Good to be back.
Glad to have you on. This has been a pretty exciting offseason so far. Tons of trade rumors. We've had a few trades today. Our teams traded the Nets and Lakers. You know, the Lakers sent D'Angelo Russell, Timothy Mozgov to the Brooklyn Nets for Brooke Lopez in the 27th pick in this year's draft. What was your initial reaction from this trade?
I hated it. I hated it at first because I'm actually a huge D'Angelo fan. Like, you know, I'll say this all the time. 6'5 guards, point guards with a three ball and passing skills do not grow on trees. So, like, I'm just like really shocked and a little bit disappointed that the Magic and the Lakers didn't really just give him another chance. 21 years old, I get that he has maturity issues. You know, body language on the bench is like poor at times, you know. Didn't really seem to care all that much on the court sometimes, but still, 21 years old, I'm a little disappointed.
For me, I was obviously a little bit sad. I love Brooke Lopez, letting him go, but I was happy to get that young talent. Obviously, the Nets, we know about their draft pick situation. So like you said, getting a 21-year-old with a lot of potential. Like, I look at D'Angelo Russell and I see star potential. It's still there. You know, you've mentioned the maturity issues and there could be some issues with that. But I think in the Brooklyn situation, there's going to be less pressure. Obviously, Kenny Atkinson has done a great job with point guard. So I'm really looking forward to it. Sad to see Brooke go, but it makes the most sense for the Nets going forward.
Yeah, I feel like Brooklyn is like, it could be like a really good situation for him to really just kind of turn his career around and, you know, turn into that number two pick that he actually was drafted to be.
Yeah, and like coming, you know, he's actually one player that I actually watched in college and I really liked his game and he just kind of had that little bit of an it factor. So I think the Nets really could use that. Obviously, they need the star power. And Atkinson's system is just something that's free-flowing, good for offensive players, a lot of three balls, so it'll be exciting. But let's talk about it from the Lakers' perspective. So, you know, losing a 21-year-old guard in D'Angelo Russell, it pretty much locks them in, you think, at the number two spot to take Lonzo Ball?
That just means Lonzo Ball has to be great. Like, that's all I'm saying. He better be a great, genius point guard, Jason Kidd prototype point guard that they all hyped him up to be. I mean, Lonzo Ball must be, like, hyped right now, like, after hearing this news, but... Yeah, I mean, he better be really good, and I hope he pans out.
I think it's a good fit, and I think the Lakers probably had some concerns about playing Lonzo and D'Angelo together. Even though Lonzo's more of that pass-type point guard, probably just makes it a little bit easier for him going forward. And also, another part of this trade, the Lakers were able to get rid of Timothy Mozgov, get rid of that contract, and open up cap space for next year, which was in a big talk in this offseason so far.
PG-13. I mean, that just means that they're really trying to push him to get him now rather than later. And I hope that's the case because, I mean, you got rid of D'Angelo, you have Lonzo Ball. You're going to have, if you don't trade for PG now, you're not really going to have a good enough season to really attract, you know, other free agents. So I hope you get PG. You know, even if you don't get another piece that really brings the Lakers to, like, you know, playoff potential, but I think they could be competitive enough to really attract other players this all, like, you know, upcoming offseason.
Yeah, and it's been mentioned that, you know, the Lakers Monday did this trade to kind of open up space for Paul George to make the trade now because there's been some concern about possibly somebody swooping in. And obviously George has made it known that he wants to sign with the Lakers in 2018. But say he goes to a team like the Cavs or a contender type team and they go to the championship and even lose, you know, it's kind of hard for him to leave that situation. So for the Lakers, I think they might just want to get George in now without giving up too many assets.
Yeah, there's reports saying that the Cavs are willing to bank on that one-year rental. And I mean, if I'm Paul George, if I'm really going to the Cavs, like, I wouldn't want to leave there, to be honest. Like, you know, you're going to be winning rings with LeBron, possibly, or at least make it to the finals every year, at least just to contend, rather to go into play with, like, a young team like, you know, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. I mean, you know, those are young prospects, and I'm a Laker fan, but to play with LeBron, to get to the finals every year, I'll take that any day just to solidify a legacy in a career.
Exactly. And, you know, like, who's going to say no to LeBron? And LeBron's like, yo, PG, I really want you to stay. I think we can do great things. We can take down this Warriors team. And, you know, obviously playing with a player like LeBron and Kyrie Irving and maybe Kevin Love or whoever they keep in that situation is going to make Paul George an even better player. And really, like you said, cement his legacy, especially with some playoff success, something he hasn't really had. He's been to the Eastern Conference Finals, but not farther than that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting too. I mean, I read that earlier just before we got on, the Jimmy Butler is actually pushing to go to the Cavs now. So that's interesting too. There's a lot of dominoes to fall. It's like been a crazy offseason, man.
And this trade right here could have been the domino that kind of sets everything off. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on NBA Twitter the rest of the night. It's been going crazy as it is. But also, what are your thoughts on the Lakers? You know, they picked up the 27th pick, which isn't bad. It's always nice to have first round picks.
I mean, I think that's another asset for them to just like, try to get this Paul George deal done. But I don't think the deal is actually official yet. I read that, they might have included Carlos LeVert. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, no, hopefully I hope those reports are false, because like if the Nets lose Caris LeVert, I probably will cry. That's my favorite current player on the team with Brook Lopez gone. And I mean, it would be pretty stupid for them to include him, being that he's their only, great potential piece on the roster. So for God's sakes, for Nets fans, they can't deal with another bad trade. Hopefully he's not included.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be happy if we got him as a Laker fan, but I mean, there's really no need for him in LA because we have like a lot of wing players, and if we're gonna sign PG, where does LeVert fit in the picture with Brandon Ingram still here, and we have Nick Young, and we don't really need wings right now. We need a
Yeah.
point guard and some defensive bigs.
Let us Nets fans live a little bit. But talking about the Nets, let's look at that from their perspective. You know, this is a team, like I mentioned, have the draft pick issues. So they pick up a young talent like D'Angelo Russell, who has some star potential, probably more star potential than anybody they'd get late in the draft. So from my perspective, I've got to be happy for this. The Nets got to be happy about this. And this is a big plus in the rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, it's a consolation prize, I guess, if you want to look at it this way, that you gave up the number one pick, to Boston. So I guess you get a little bit of consolation prize in like the former number two pick, who's still 21 years old, who showed a lot of promise, upside. So not bad
And
at all.
I think he gives the Nets, they have, mentioned Caris LeVert, Rondae. Neither of those guys are going to be huge scorers. Where you have D'Angelo Russell, he could really be somebody who can put up the points.
Oh
Last
yeah.
year, he dropped 40 points, I think, on the Cavs, right?
I
And
mean, I know that he has his best games against the Nets, actually. I mean, I think he had like nine or eight threes or something like that against the Nets.
those were tough threes too. They weren't even like easy open threes. So the Nets really need that offensive pop. And he kind of gives it to them. And it'd be nice to see his potential really progress in Brooklyn, where he'll have a great opportunity to shine and plenty of minutes to go forward.
Oh, he's not gonna be shy. He's gonna launch it. He's gonna probably shoot at least like 20 times a game.
And Kenny Atkinson's fines with players shooting threes. He let Brooks shoot threes all of last season. So D'Angelo Russell's a solid 3-point shooter. I think he shot around 35%. So how many threes do you think he'll be launching in Brooklyn per game?
Probably anywhere from 4 to 5. Yeah.
4 to 5. I
He's
wouldn't
gonna
be
have to
surprised. We might see some games around 10, though. I wouldn't be surprised at
green
all.
He's gonna have the green light, yeah.
And I mean, how do you feel for the Nets? You know, losing Brook Lopez, it kind of just makes sense. He's contracts up at the end of this year. You know, for Brook, he'll finally be able to kind of have some options of free agency and maybe go to a winning situation. He's probably been the Nets' best player since they've come to Brooklyn. So losing him hurts for the fans, but it makes sense for the future.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets, they've been really off the grid for the last couple of years. And after making those so many countless mistakes, what is it, Billy King?
Yep.
I mean, you have to just start ground up. I mean, this is like the first step, I really feel like this was a great trade for them. Great pickup.
Honestly, every move Sean Marks has made has really been a good move. You know, no move that he's made has restricted the franchise as much as any of the moves Billy King made. You know, we could look at the trade where he traded the pick that turned into Damian Lillard for Gerald Wallace. We can look at him re-signing Gerald Wallace for 4 years at $10 million a pop. We can look at the trade from Boston. You know, there's so many trades of Billy King. Some of that has to do with ownership, some of that has to do with him. Happy to have a solid front office.
Yeah, he came from Sean Marks came from the Spurs, right?
Yep, he did come from the
Well,
Spurs, so
that explains a lot.
exactly. If you had to say, do you think either team substantially won this trade, or it's a pretty good trade for both sides in the big picture?
I think it's a pretty good trade for both sides. Now that if you really look at it from like the standpoint of, the Nets, they get a young talent. Obviously Brook wasn't the future wasn't with the Nets anyway. Like he was a stud with the Nets, but like there was been trade rumors for like what 2 years now that they were wanting to trade him. Getting a young talent, pump up the city a little bit. He's gonna score plenty of points. He probably won't shoot the ball well, but he's at least going to be someone like like a Booker in Phoenix, where he's gonna score a lot of points, get the fans, you know, excited for games at least. It's the right step in the right direction. But for the Lakers, I mean, yeah, they're probably gonna get Paul George, and I actually really like that move. But if they're really hoping to bank everything on pursuing LeBron, I don't see it. But, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, I just don't know. Like, you know, it seems like Magic and, you know, Rob Pelinka, they're really just gambling all their chips on the table, banking on a, you know, a faster rebuild.
Yeah. And I mean, it could turn out, you know, positive or negative for the Lakers in the sense, you know, they could look great if next season Paul George and LeBron sign with them. And much as we know, they might have a backup plan where there's another star that they're looking at to sign with Paul George too. And I think a lot also depends on the development of the young guys to the Lakers this year. You know, how far does Ingram come? Do they keep Randall? How does Lonzo Ball do? You know, I think that's going to say a lot about the future for the Lakers and how much LeBron would be willing to go there. Because I think, you know, at the time of free agency, how old will he be? Like 34 years old?
I think like 33 or so. 33, yeah. Something like that.
So, I mean, it's not like he's, you know, obviously LeBron's on his own age cycle.
All the time, yep.
But eventually it'll some point catch up. But we got a few more, you know, trade rumors to talk about today. We'll talk a little bit about Kristaps Porzingis. So it's come out today that the Knicks are willing to trade Kristaps. Obviously, they're going to have a high asking price. I think one of the offers was like Devin Booker, the number 4 pick for Kristaps. That's not going to happen. Do you think this is a real possibility the Knicks can move Kristaps?
I will be shocked if they do, because that's like really the only thing Phil Jackson did right in his front office, you know, ever since he's been hired by president of basketball operations with the Knicks. I mean, but it's Phil, you know.
Yep.
And with the whole drama, the skipping out exit meetings, you know, the whole haven't been in contact with each other, I don't know like how it's gonna unfold. I really hope they don't trade KP, because he really is a rare breed. Like, he's in that discussion of, like, Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns, Miles Turner kind of breed of big men where they can really kind of do a lot of things right. So I really hope that they don't do it. But, I mean, I read that reports that they're willing to, you know, trade him for a monster offer. So if that monster offer is something like Devin Booker and the number 4 pick, then, yeah, you can at least, like, look into it. If Phoenix is stupid enough to accept that, but yeah, but you could look into that. But unless a monster offer is on the table, I would not take that pick. Like, I would not trade him to Boston for the number 3 pick. Yeah, that's like one of the rumors too. I would not do that.
What happens if Boston offer you number 3, just let's say Jay Crowder, because I think Phil Jackson loves him in reports that I've read, and this future pick that's from the Sixers, the, you know, the Lakers/Kings/Philly pick, you know, the complicated protections. Would you take that trade?
I mean, I'm not a GM, and there's a reason why I'm not, but I probably would not either, because I really feel like KP, he belongs with the Knicks, and he was drafted by the Knicks. I feel like you should really just develop him and really see where it goes. Not to say that number 3 Josh Jackson or whatever projected Josh Jackson won't be like a really good player, but I feel like KP is a really rare breed and that you have to just develop him and see where it goes.
Yeah, if I'm a GM, I'm 0% trading Kristaps. You better offer me like everything, but I still don't think I might not take it, because there's no guarantee any of these draft picks are going to be as good as Kristaps is. Yep. And we already know Kristaps is an all-star. Let's be honest. Like, he just next year, it's pretty, if he gets a better supporting cast, like, one thing that Phil Jackson did that was pretty stupid, in my opinion, was add Derrick Rose. You know, you need to add a pass-first point guard for Kristaps.
I hated the addition. I like Derrick Rose as a person, as a player, but I hated the addition because as everyone saw, it never worked out, because he was like a ball-dominant scoring point guard, which is fine on other teams, but on a team where you have KP and Melo, you need a floor general. You need a dishing point guard. That's why I was really disappointed in February, where they could have maybe possibly got Rubio for him. But now you're in this situation where Derrick Rose is going to walk away for nothing. And now you're in search of a point guard. And rumors are that, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. might not even last to 8. So what is their plan there now? It's like, you know, I'm really wondering what the Knicks are going to do.
Yeah, definitely could be a point guard in the draft. I think one play last year, this play just sticks out in my head whenever I think about the Knicks from last season. There was a play they ran a Derrick Rose from Kristaps pick and pop. And Derrick Rose's pass to Porzingis was so bad. It was like into the first row of the stands, and Kristaps was just standing there wide open.
Yeah, KP, I really hope just the Knicks just really build around KP. I really like KP.
Yeah, honestly, we're hoping that the Knicks pretty much do a complete 180 from the reports, and instead of trading him, they just nourish him, and they realize, like, you know, this is a star talent, this is a unique player, a Hall of Fame-type potential player, and we need to make sure he gets the most out of his career instead of worrying about the stupid triangle and worrying about your ego.
Yeah, I mean, he's young. I mean, it's not right that he skipped exit meetings, of course not, but it's also not right for the Knicks to, like, just give up on him because of that reason, you know?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, skipping the exit meeting had a lot to do with the way they treated Carmelo Anthony. And by no right is that, like, the proper way to treat your NBA player. No matter what Carmelo had done, Phil Jackson still shouldn't have come out and said the things he said about him still being an active player on the roster. And all he did was hurt his value even more. So, I mean, I can kind of understand KP's part on that, but still, like you said, you don't skip the exit meeting, especially a young player. And, you know, you want to be a big part of this franchise moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, we would be talking a different narrative here if, you know, Phil Jackson never really opened his mouth. Who knows? I mean, Chris Paul would have been the discussion of maybe possibly signing here. You know, Chris Paul is famously known to be really good friends with Carmelo. You know, you never know. But now that's all thrown out the window, obviously. But yeah.
Yeah, and reports came out this week that the reason that Chris Paul isn't meeting with the Knicks is because of the way they alienated Carmelo. So, you know, you just kind of put out your own fire right there. So it's been a crazy offseason. I'm sure we're going to be back on here talking another trade pretty soon. I would almost be – I almost put it as a lock that we'll see another a big trade on Thursday. But, you know, how many big trades do you think we're going to see this offseason if you had to put a number on it? Over, under, three?
I say before July 1st, which is free agency, I'm going to see at least two or three. I see Jimmy Butler being moved, definitely.
Yep. And I think Paul George is pretty much a lock. So I think Jimmy, yeah. I think Paul George probably gets moved, and then Jimmy gets moved, and then another team's going to be kind of panicking, and then somebody that we didn't even think would get moved got moved.
Yeah.
The Celtics can kind of just like screw everybody because they can just like offer somebody such a deal that they can't say no. There's obviously been like small reports that they have some interest in trying to pry Anthony Davis away. That'll be tough to do, but they have the treasure chest to do it.
Danny Ainge, he's the king of lowballers.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. Everybody, thanks for listening. Dickie, thank you for hopping on. I appreciate it, and good luck with the Lakers this season. I'm hoping D'Angelo Russell works out for me.
Thank you, Nick. I hope the same.